It's okay here, but people sometimes take advantage because it's so relaxed. I'm a volunteer sheriff's deputy on the weekends, and you cannot screw around there. It's sort of one of the rules.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you. One preseason game in the books. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN and check us out at www.gothamsn.com. Subscribe. We're everywhere. Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, folks. We're on Spotify. Hit that double subscribe button. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, 5 stars. Tell us we sound great in the comments. And congratulations to Nick. Nick won our Madden 19 giveaway. So enjoy that one, buddy. More giveaways to come in the coming weeks. So excited about that. Weiss, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. We got week one of preseason in the books. A good amount to talk about. Now, I actually want to bring something up before we get into the nitty-gritty. And it's sort of the back and forth that we all see on Twitter. Mm-hmm. There are two crowds. There is the crowd that says, it's only preseason, don't overreact. Mm-hmm. And then there is the crowd that, you know, the sky is falling.
Right.
In preseason, there is a happy medium of what you can overreact to, what you can underreact to. Right. And it really just comes down to this, in my opinion. It's that coaches, right, we're not there every day in practice. And when you get a player who you probably know very little about outside of maybe some college film you saw on them, some coaches may not have even watched any film at all on the player if they're trying out to make the 53, if they're a bubble player. The game is an opportunity to see if this player can take what they're learning in practice and apply it on the field successfully, right? So when Davis Webb goes out there and he puts up a stinker, that is a poor reflection on Davis Webb, and it is okay to criticize a poor preseason performance. The same goes for any player that had a bad game, and we'll get into a number of players who did not look good last Thursday night. There just needs to be a happy medium, and people need to realize that. Because if I'm being honest, just getting a little annoyed. People saying, it's only preseason week one, don't overreact. Well, that's what we do. We give takes. We watch the game. The coaches watch the game, and they make roster decisions and play calling decisions based on what they see in live game action. So there is, you know, a good amount that we can take from a preseason game. Outside of that, where do you want to start? I think we should start with the offense.
You just spent a couple of minutes sort of throwing major shade at a certain player. So
yeah,
let's just start there. Let's just start that position group.
Fine. Let's start with quarterbacks on the offense.
Right. I didn't think neither three looked good.
Correct.
I thought you know, Kyle Letta was very limited in what we saw in him. And when he was going up against a lot of players that probably won't be on 53-man rosters. So it was very limited. But the big story was Davis Webb. Mm-hmm. His first opportunity to really show what he can do on the field, what he's learned over the course of the last, you know, how long has it been, 2 years or year and a half under Eli Manning's wing.
Interrupt real quick because I want to put it into context. These numbers are from Pro Football Focus. Davis Webb recorded a passer rating of 49.4 over 23 dropbacks, which was second to last among quarterbacks with at least 15 dropbacks that played on Thursday night.
Yeah, he didn't look good. And you talk about things that you can overreact to. I don't think it was necessarily an overreaction. It was a reaction.
Correct.
To what was happening. And the reaction was the same thing that many of us, including myself, feared when it came to Davis Webb. Inaccurate, relies too much on his arm strength, and horrible footwork. And that's what we saw. We saw a quarterback that has accuracy issues. We saw a quarterback that relies too heavily on his arm strength. And we saw a quarterback that doesn't have good pocket presence, does not use good footwork in the pocket. And this is what you get with Davis Webb. Now, does this mean that we should write Davis Webb off and he has no chance? No.
No, absolutely not.
But I think the biggest takeaway from this is there hasn't been any improvement.
Right. Now,
and whether or not there is that improvement to be made is yet to be determined. But our reaction, your reaction, my reaction is Davis Webb hasn't improved. Davis Webb is still the same guy. Davis Webb, and rest in peace, you know, Dennis Green, but Davis Webb is who we thought he was. You know, he is an inaccurate quarterback, and he's a quarterback that is struggling. And so far, it's pretty much what you and I and a lot of other people expected from Davis Webb from the get-go. So
yeah, and you know, it's a shame because, you know, we're just reacting to what we see. We want Davis Webb to pan out.
Of course.
If Davis Webb pans out as a third-round pick, that's less draft capital the Giants will need to use in the future on a quarterback. Or that's less money they'll need to spend in free agency when Eli retires on a quarterback. We want both Davis Webb and Kyle Lauletta to work out. Fact of the matter is, neither looked good in preseason game number one. Thankfully, they will have opportunities to show even more in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and when people say that you shouldn't overreact, I really don't get that because throughout the entire spring, throughout the entire draft season, all I was seeing was an overreaction to certain things that should not dictate whether or not a quarterback can be labeled the heir apparent.
Right, and it's like, and to be fair, it's like you know, the overreaction to Davis Webb throwing in shorts, and you know, we joke about it all the time, like, you know, he's doing it in shorts. Let's see him do it in pads against actual, you know, 53-man roster players. It's a counter to the overreaction of people in the preseason who are saying, or during camp, who are convinced that Davis Webb is the heir apparent based on absolutely nothing. And then he goes out there and puts on a stinker. Yeah, we're going to come back a little bit harder because you were so adamant that he was the heir apparent.
Right. I think the reaction is more so to the people who have just simply appointed him as the heir apparent to Eli Manning without even seeing what he can do on the field. I mean, Davis Webb didn't. The only thing we know about Davis Webb is that he's followed Eli Manning around.
Yeah.
He was a third round pick by a failed regime, who, by the way, has struggled historically finding any talent
in the
third round. You know, and that's the only thing we know about Davis Webb. We don't know him, what he can do on the field. We know he has a big arm. Congratulations. Brock Osweiler had a big arm.
Yeah.
A lot of quarterbacks who have not been successful
in the NFL
have had big arms, you know. But I sense the reaction has been to that. Is our reaction, your reaction, my reaction, many people's reaction has been to the overreaction of who Davis Webb is. And me telling you or you telling your, you know, tweeting out or me tweeting out or people saying that you should calm down with the whole he's the heir apparent, he's, you know, he's the next guy in line. That's not us writing Davis Webb off. That's just us telling you, hey, let's relax for a second. Let's see more of this, what he can do, because what we're seeing right now, it does not look good. And I we talked about this. Remember, you and I, we talked about quarterbacks during the offseason, throughout the draft season. Mm-hmm. The one thing I emphasized was, you know, the most important thing to me about a quarterback is his ability to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't trust you to throw an out route, a 7-yard out route or a 5-yard out route consistently on accurately, then I don't give a damn how far you can throw a football.
And the one play that
I don't give a damn how tall you are.
Right. And to your point, one play that sticks out in my mind, and forgive me because I forget who he threw this to. I believe it was a running back. It was, you know, a lot of the completions that he had on last Thursday night were dump offs to running backs or just plays underneath because the defenses knew that they could keep him honest that way. And he almost overthrew running backs numerous times. He was just gunning it like 7 yards away. There was one running back who had to just jump as high as he could instead of hitting him in
stride.
Gallman. Yeah, it was Gallman.
Either Gallman or Simmons.
Yeah, we'll get into the running backs because I think they all play. I mean, we'll talk. God, I have so much to say about the running backs, but yeah.
When it comes to Davis Webb is, you know, and I think we'll leave it at this unless you want to add something, but it's not an overreaction. It's a reaction to the overreaction that we've
exactly
heard the entire
for every overreaction, there's a counter overreaction.
Right. And I'm not
it's not an overreaction.
It's a reaction to the overreaction, because we've seen so much of it when it comes to Davis Webb this summer that it's, you know, I don't want to sit here and say, well, I told you so, because we're not there yet.
It's too early.
But this is, we need to calm down. Nobody's sitting here hoping Davis Webb fails just so their point can be proven.
Right.
I would love to be here sitting here telling you I'm wrong, you know, on the day the Giants appoint Davis Webb as the starter for the season, whenever that day is, if it comes. But at the end of the fact of the matter is, he does not look like a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No, I don't give a damn how he practices, because you know, you don't win games practicing.
Yeah. We're talking about practice.
Yeah.
I got nothing more to say. It'll be nice. The second, third, and fourth preseason games will be nice, because it didn't really seem like the Giants game planned for this preseason game, so we don't really have, you know, the full Pat Shurmur effect. I think the same can be said about Betcher's defense. You know, we saw a bunch of different looks, and, you know, they were testing out the 3-4 and the 4-3. We'll get into the defense later. But, you know, I want to see this offense in action a little more. Eli Manning was like 5-for-5 on his first practice today, practice drive. So we'll see. I'm excited to see what we can get out of the Pat Shurmur offense.
I think what the offense was, I was definitely going into the game expecting, first of all, they didn't have their best offensive player.
Right.
You know, so they didn't have that. This is still a new offense. I know there's been so much talk about expectations. At the end of the day, this is still a new offense that these players are learning. And the fact of the matter is, you're expecting some miscommunications. You're expecting some...
Get the kinks, you know, out now.
Yeah, you're expecting some of these things that we saw. It's the first preseason game. It never looks good from the start.
Mm-hmm.
But you expected it. But the most important thing is the improvement. And you talked about what we're going to see. I don't really put a lot of stock into the fourth preseason game, just because I think at that point you already know who your top, you know, 40, 41, 42 players are. You're just looking to fill in the back end of your roster. So if you see a guy going in there like a Davis Webb or a Kyle Laletta going up against guys that are probably not going to be employed or be on a 53-man roster, you know, the following week. So I don't put a lot of emphasis in the fourth. For Davis Webb, for Kyle Laletta going forward, to me, it's that second preseason game on Friday, I believe. That's going to be the one that we're going to see. We're going to sort of see the final real rehearsal. Or not even rehearsal, but the final real game tape of Davis Webb for possibly the entire season, because I think in that third preseason game, you're going to see Eli the majority of the way, and I don't know how much Davis Webb is going to play in that third preseason game and going up against maybe third or fourth string players if he does eventually come in. So
The
second one is the most important one, in my opinion, for him.
Sure. And last note on quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield.
Woo.
Man. Reason he was my 1A to Rosen's 1B this offseason. I mean, he looked like a number one overall pick.
They've all looked good. They've all looked good.
Yes.
Lamar Jackson looked good. Mason Rudolph looked good. Kyle Laletta had a couple of good throws. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously didn't get as many snaps as the other guys, but you know,
let's not forget, man. Crosstown, Sam Darnold looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Looks, I mean, he's getting rave reviews. I mean, when have we ever seen that fail with a rookie Jets quarterback? Am I right? But
yeah, I think if you don't want to say that he looked good, well, he definitely didn't look bad.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, that should be the New York Daily News headline from now on. Sam Darnold did not look bad.
Everyone says you overreact, or we're overreacting. So the one thing we cannot say was that, you know, he looked bad. Mm-hmm. He did not look bad at all.
Not look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into running backs now, because, man, we both knew the John Stewart contract was bad. I did not expect it to look even worse come preseason game number one. Yeah. And it's not for how bad John Stewart played, because he played poorly. It was how well the other running backs played.
Yeah.
Now, just a couple stats here. Robert Martin averaged 7.8 yards per rushing attempt, 5 carries, 39 yards. An impressive 3.4 of those 7.8 yards came after contact. So you love to see that. Jalen Simmons played really, really well. He had 7 carries for 38 yards and a touchdown before leaving the game. Head or neck injury, I think it was. And then Wayne Gallman looked really, really good. looking like the Giants' third down receiving back. Really, really quick, really good receiving the ball. And it sucks, man. It sucks because now the Giants are going to be forced to keep four running backs if they want to keep both Simmons and Martin because of the John Stewart contract. And, you know, again, preseason overreactions, Robert Martin was really reminding me of Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah. I really liked what I saw from Jalen Simmons as well. I think he went up against a lot of twos.
Mm-hmm.
He did a really good job. Wayne Gallman out of the backfield. I didn't really remember him running the ball much, but I love what I saw from out of the backfield, catching those inaccurate passes from Davis Webb. That was a test from self, but him, you know, getting the yards. I believe he broke away for like a 10, 12-yard pass and catch.
Yeah, he looked real
good. That looked good. But Jonathan Stewart, I mean, oh, my God.
Oh, man. I believe it was Jalapio who got credited with that sack. But, I mean, that John Stewart's got to pick that up, man.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, there was one particular screenplay that just didn't develop to Jonathan Stewart, well, primarily because that's not his strength, catching passes out of the backfield. Saquon was Saquon, we know.
I mean, we're talking about running back. We forget the best guy. They mentioned him. Well, hey, save the best for last, am I right?
Saquon with that 39-yard run to open the game, I think that really, really energized. You know, they really was like, okay.
Well, and let me say this. I tweeted it out. Saquon's first two series as a New York Giant preseason, it's the epitome of what he is and what he will be with this Giants offensive line. Now, kudos to the offensive line because they looked really, even the second, third, and the fourth string guys looked really, really good run blocking. But Saquon rips a 39-yard run to start the game, and then his other runs were like 3 yards, no gain, -2, 3 yards. That's going to be the epitome of Saquon. He's going to find a way to break one, but you know, he will have those where he tries to do a little too much and has to settle for nothing or just a couple yards.
Right, I think we're going to see that. Mm-hmm. But I thought overall, listen, the offensive line had their moments where they didn't.
Yep.
They gave up a sack on that one play you mentioned with Jonathan Stewart not picking up. But I thought the run blocking overall, the scheme was a lot better than what we've seen in the past from the Giants. You know, there was a lot of holes that were popping open. And maybe the blocks weren't pretty and maybe they weren't textbook, but they were getting the job done. And I think that's what you want from the Giants offensive line this year. Just do enough so we can get these skill position guys to move the ball. So I thought it looked good from early on. I thought the offense opened up with a good drive, obviously capped with that 39-yard run by Saquon. But I thought, you know, listen, for the first preseason game, new offense, I thought it looked, with no Odell, I thought it looked pretty okay, you know, pretty much what I would mark it as a positive. I know there wasn't a touchdown drive, and I know they didn't score a touchdown until late in the second half. But, you know, just an early reaction, I thought it was pretty positive to me, I think.
Agree.
You know, there were some good things, there were some bad things, but, you know, it looked like a functioning thing. Whereas in the past with Ben McAdoo, even second year and third year in the first preseason game, you're like, what the hell is this?
Yes.
You know, there was, but we're sort of seeing, okay, what we can be. And I didn't see that in the past. So I'm pretty overall, you know, I was positive reviews for me coming out of that first preseason game, especially with the ones.
Yeah. Now, while I don't think they didn't look great pass blocking, although there are some numbers that do contradict that. I'm just going to read off a few from Pro Football Focus. Nick Beacon, playing offensive tackle, he had 25 pass blocking snaps and allowed zero pressures. John Jerry and John Greco allowed zero pressures as well across 25 pass blocking snaps. And then we have Brett Jones, who had a 71.7 overall grade in 25 snaps, 22 of which were pass blocking, so that's great. He allowed zero pressures. Jalapio's grade was much lower, 53. In 16 snaps, and he was credited with the sack, and his pass blocking grades specifically 37.3 and 9 pass blocking snaps. So Brett Jones looking like he's going to seize that starting center position like we had all hoped.
Yeah, I think I will say this about Greco. I think he deserves to be moving up the depth chart.
Agree.
I know Omame is sort of the starter right now, but I think Greco is. He's been having a he had a good preseason game one late last year. He was, you know, he was okay in the roles he got. So I want to see if he's a guy that can move up and sort of not necessarily challenge Omame, but sort of, you know, be like, hey, I'm here too.
One of the things that we spoke about last episode was what we perceive to be as the lack of depth along the offensive line, and how if one person goes down, this team is basically fucked. You know, that that more so points to, you know, Nate Solder or Will Hernandez, but it's good to know you have a guy who's at least capable waiting in case something bad happens.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You want to find depth, and I think Greco's sort of the guy that we can rely on if need be, just based on what we've seen from him so far. Since he's been signed here late last year.
Sure. Anything on the wideouts? No one really stood out to me. Although I got to be honest, I wasn't paying that close attention during the second half of the game. But, you know, wide receiver-wise, no one really stood out to me.
No, not really. I thought Russell Shepard had a couple of decent catches. Nothing really, like, over the top that I have to, you know, I mean, I expected more from Khalif Raymond. He didn't really do much. I remember hearing him. A lot of the stuff was to the running backs. Martin and I think Gallman had three, four, five receptions.
Especially we'll in, like, the, that two-minute drill that Davis Webb was running down the stretch before he had that brain fart and the clock management. We won't get into that, but
So nothing really much on the receivers. I think we'll sort of see them more in the second and third preseason game.
Agree.
Yeah.
All right, shall we get into the defense?
Yes.
Okay. Before we get into the defense, I wanted to talk to you guys about the sponsor of today's episode. Now, Weiss, I showed you that poster that I got,
Oh, yeah. One-handed catch. I loved it.
Yeah. And for those of you who want to see it, it'll be up on my Twitter by the time this episode's out. I'll tweet it out for you guys. We were approached by posterburner.com to do a few ad reads for the show, so... you know, naturally, I had to try them out first. I'm not going to pitch you guys something I wouldn't use myself. So I ordered myself a nice framed poster. And currently in my apartment, and Weiss has seen this too, I have framed the David Tyree helmet catch. It's actually the SI cover of him making that helmet catch. So you know I had to do it to him. And I got the dopest Odell Beckham one-handed catch poster framed, hanging right next to it right now. All thanks to the folks at posterburner.com. We all have photos on our phones or social media. When you get that special shot, like a one-handed Odell Beckham catch, you guys can use posterburner.com to turn them into amazing prints. It's affordable, fast. Guys, I'm not joking. It took me 5 minutes to do this online, and the poster came in like 3 days. It's high quality. You can get it framed. You can get a 24 by 36 movie-sized poster for under 20 bucks. They also have premium canvas prints, metal prints, decal stickers, banners, and more. So go on over to posterburner.com/GothamSN. Again, that's posterburner.com/GothamSN. And you'll get an additional 10% off your order. That applies to every type of print. Again, that's posterburner, posterburner.com/GothamSN. Weiss, let's get into the defense. A lot of good. A lot of good that we saw. And I got some more Pro Football Focus numbers. Where do you want to start? Because the run defense was phenomenal. We saw really good pass rush and creative blitzes by James Betcher. The secondary, not so much. Linebacker play, not so much. But where do you want to start?
Let's start with the good. The front seven.
Yeah.
Run blocking was beautiful.
The run was unreal. They, you know, the Giants held the Browns to 50 yards on 33 carries. It's 1.5 yards a carry. Right. If we take out runs by quarterbacks, it's 35 yards on 28 carries for 1.25 yards per carry. So back to the run defense of 2016, or so it seems.
Yeah, I mean, we saw brilliant play from the run defense. But more specifically, what else I liked was we saw sort of some glimpses of the different types of blitzes that we're going to see from Betcher's defense this season. There was a couple plays. Landon Collins came off the edge. It was a little late getting there, but we saw him put a hit on the quarterback a couple of times. There were also some other secondary guys that came up. But overall, the run defense and overall aggressiveness of the defense is starting to come into shape. And that's a pretty big thing the Giants are going to need, especially with these running backs in the NFC East that they're going to be facing. So definitely a plus. Unfortunate injury. Yeah. I mean,
the biggest win of the preseason was the Giants didn't suffer a major injury yet. Right. Saquon tweaked his hammy in practice, but that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to make sure it doesn't re-aggravate it.
Put him and Odell in bubble wrap until week one.
Right.
Yeah.
But I like the run defense. Secondary, pretty much what we expected. A lot of struggles.
Eli Apple got turned around bad on one play. Eli Apple,
it's even though we've heard that he's had a good camp, it's not translating to the field now. Again, it's only the first preseason game, but he got turned around on one play. And there isn't really a third corner that's sort of grabbing that spot by the neck. A lot of guys are struggling. We saw, I believe it was B.W. Webb in there a lot. He struggled, gave up some plays. On the back end, Orion Stewart had a missed tackle. I thought the newcomer, Leon Johnson, who they signed like last week, I thought he did some good things, but he also had some mistakes as well. So you can see that secondary is going to be an issue, and the Giants are going to continue to try to find, you know, they're going to continue to monitor the
way
the
line. They're going to throw shit at the wall and hopefully something sticks.
They're going to be monitoring who gets cut, who's, you know, who could get available. And I think they're going to try to, you know, find this third corner somehow, some way.
I mean, I'm just saying, DRC's out there finna get that pickle played with. They could use him on this defense.
That's a sort of weird situation with DRC. Yeah. The fact that they've had no interest in bringing him back. I don't know.
He'd be perfect in San Diego, by the way. They had both their corners go down. He'd be perfect.
Yeah, but Seattle. They should bring him back. He would be good in Seattle, too. Yep. But we'll see. Orlando Scandrick just was released. Maybe they could show some interest there. I don't really know what Scandrick has left. But again, you know, this is the type, like you said, throw shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
But that is definitely something very troubling for the Giants, is that third corner spot, and even the question mark with Eli Apple.
Yep.
You talk about Nate Solder going down the offensive line. If Janoris Jenkins goes down,
boned.
What do you mean? What do you have back there?
Nothing.
What do you have? I mean, there isn't any real draft capital back there. You're just a bunch of guys that were bargain bin free agents.
Yep.
William Gay, you know, B.W. Webb, Leon Johnson, Dante Dion. I mean, what is there that can step up for the Giants? So, I don't know. It's a very troubling, but we'll see. I know they had some injuries with Dante Dion and William Gay. I don't believe they played last week, but you know, if they can get healthy, we can see what they can bring to the table. But it is bad, man. It is really bad.
One guy to keep an eye on in terms of the defense, the base 3-4 defense. B.J. Hill was treated like a week one starter in this preseason game. The base 3-4 was B.J. Hill, Damon Harrison at nose tackle, and Dalvin Tomlinson, with B.J. Hill and Dalvin Tomlinson on the outside as the defensive ends, Kareem Martin and Olivier Vernon as the outside linebackers. Excited to see more of that, needless to say. Olivier Vernon, I mean, guy could have 15 sacks in this defense with the pressure that they're putting up. Alec Ogletree, I was an enormous fan of bringing Alec Ogletree over. Coverage of tight ends, and whether or not the Giants even know the tight end is a position, is still to be determined. Because, credit to David Njoku, because he's not as athletic as Evan Engram, but he's up there. So he's going to give defenses fits this year, but it is apparent that they're going to need Landon Collins, when he's not rushing the quarterback, to be on tight ends, because they don't have a linebacker capable, at least so we've seen through 1 week of the preseason.
Yeah, Alec Ogletree. We talk about the good and the bad. Yeah, that was the bad.
That was real bad.
That was, you know, when we traded for him, we talked about, if it's 2016 Ogletree, then that's a good thing. If it's 2017 Ogletree, well,
not so much.
You just got an overpriced bad football player. That looked like bad Ogletree. But again, it's the first preseason game, and just like it's a new system on offense, a new system on defense, you don't want to overreact. But again, that's something to watch. If that continues to happen, then, well, you know, we're going to have to start talking about it more and more.
Yep. Avery Moss played well as well. He was the highest graded run defender per Pro Football Focus with a grade of 89. Two stops in 20 snaps at the outside linebacker position. They have a lot of pass rushing depth from the linebacker position, especially with Betcher, who's going to get creative. Again, it's going to come down to the coverage and if they're able to cover tight ends. And I'm just not confident in it right now.
Yeah, but still, I think the thing with the pass rushers is they have a lot of depth in terms of they can bring a guy in for, you know, 5 to 10 plays a game. But I don't know if they have a guy that can step up if needed for an extended period of time. We're talking multiple games.
Right.
They have a lot of good situational pass rushers, but I'm still a little bit concerned with guys that could potentially play 3-4 games straight as starters if something happens to Vernon. I don't know. We'll see if someone else sort of emerges as a guy that can play. But right now, that's one of my concerns with the pass rush. I do like what they have in there. I do like to have the different type of, you know, guys with size, guys with speed, guys with, you know, strength. But, you know, I'm sort of worried if there's a guy that could play for multiple game stretch in that room.
Yeah, agree. Anything else on the defense? Any other notes?
None whatsoever.
None. Okay.
This is a very vanilla episode.
Listen, we don't have much.
Right. We're not going to overreact, as people say.
Exactly.
That's my favorite word in the preseason, in training camp. Overreact.
Overreact.
Because it's like it's so misdefined that it's unbelievable. You know, like people use it in the wrong term. Oh, someone makes a great play. Oh, you can't overreact. Don't, you know, it's one game.
Yeah.
You know, it's one play. But then if it's somebody that they like, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, this is what I told you. I told you this guy's great. So I just love seeing that from everyone.
Yep.
We'll continue.
No, let's look ahead to preseason game number 2.
Right. They're having joint practices right now with the Lions.
What are you looking for in preseason game 2? For me, it's really just the quarterbacks and whether or not someone emerges from the secondary. Those are the two main things that I'm going to be looking for because, honestly, I didn't like what I saw in preseason game 1.
Yeah, so I'm going to rewatch the Browns game, and I'm going to watch sort of the first and second string guys. Probably the first half I'm going to see. And then I'm going to say, okay, can we improve on those going into game 2? Will we see those improvements? And I think that's what I want to see is I want to see improvement. Obviously, you want to see how the quarterback responds in Davis Webb. You want to see if what else we'll see from Kyle Laletta going forward.
I want to see just one complete scoring drive from the first team.
Yeah, I think that would be good. I think, you know, I want to see if – first of all, I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to play on Friday.
Nor should he.
Nor should he, yeah. Whether or not Odell plays will be determined. I won't be surprised if he doesn't play. But then again, I won't be surprised if he gets a couple snaps in there. Now, I want to see if Davis Webb and Kyle Laletta can improve on the mistakes they made in the first game. First of all, there's no reason why Alex Tanny should be getting that much playing time. This is the time the Giants should be using to give as many reps to Kyle Laletta as possible because you want to put as much on film as you can. He ain't going to learn anything sitting on the sidelines. Yeah, there's a mental part of it, but they got to use these snaps to give not only Kyle Laletta but Davis Webb as many snaps as they can to get as much information and as much film on them as possible. So Alex Tanny, I understand, is on the roster as a fourth quarterback. I get it. It's the way, sort of like this unwritten rule where you have like a fourth quarterback that you know is not going to make the roster. But I got to see these two quarterbacks. I got to see more of them, specifically Kyle Laletta, because I did like – he has a nice touch on the ball.
Right.
You know, that one play to – I think it was your pass interference – but that was a pretty ball he threw.
If you combined Eli Manning, Kyle Laletta, and Davis Webb, you would have the perfect quarterback. You got Eli's brains, Davis Webb's strength, and Kyle Laletta's touch. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. That's it for me. Shall we get into some questions?
Sure.
All right. First one from Stan McCune. What is your prediction for week 1 depth chart for running back, including fourth and fifth string? Fifth string, I don't know if, I mean, maybe, you know, the fifth stringer will be listed as a kick returner. In terms of fourth string, man, this is what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to John Stewart and where he's listed on the depth chart. For me, in my mind right now, there's no doubt about it. It's got to be Saquon and Gallman as the 1-2. After that, it's going to come down to John Stewart's contract. Because with him and how well Jalen Simmons played and Robert Martin played, I mean, there is going to be a fight to the death for that third or fourth string spot, depending on where you slot in John Stewart. For me, I saw so much good out of both of them. Maybe Robert Martin, you know, you saw his yards after contact, 3.4 of his ridiculous, like 7.8 yards per carry came after contact. So maybe if he becomes like a more physical runner, they could use him instead of John Stewart as a goal line back or a short yardage back. You know, they've also got Shane Smith as the fullback. So it's still up in the air. But for me right now, my 1-2 is Saquon and Gallman.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of questions about this too. And I did get the answer. Cutting Jonathan Stewart would free up under $500,000 in cap space.
Lovely. Good job, Kevin Abrams and Dave Gettleman. Well done.
Despite the fact that they gave him, what was it, $2-3 million guaranteed?
Yeah.
So it's really unlikely that they cut Jonathan Stewart this year. They're not going to do that. With that said, he's going to be on the roster. Saquon Barkley's going to be on the roster. I don't know if they keep four running backs, especially with the fact that they're going to have a fullback on the roster.
And three quarterbacks.
Yeah. I don't see them keeping a fourth running back. So I think it'll be, you know, Saquon, Stewart, and Wayne Allman.
And then they'll probably try to sneak Simmons or Martin under the practice squad in the event of an injury.
Could you do that? I don't know.
They're playing well, man. These guys might get scooped up.
Yeah, they are playing really well. So we'll see if that continues. But I would like to see from the running backs, and I think it'll play out that way, but I would like to see if Wayne Gallman can push for more first-team reps.
Me too.
Because there's no reason why he should be playing behind Jonathan Stewart.
No reason. Absolutely none. Next question from longtime listener Nick Becht. What up, Nick? Is this the year Wynn actually does something after the preseason? I swear to God, after every preseason game for like the last 2 years, I've declared it the summer of Wynn because he's just looked unreal. He's going to have a role on this team. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rushing the passer against the – I mean, he was very, very good against the run his first two seasons, and now he's showing some pass rush flashes. Yeah, he's going to play a part in this defense. Absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy because every time we think that this is the year Kerry Wynn does not make our team, he has like a great preseason that makes it impossible for the team to cut him, and he's doing it again right now.
I mean, to be fair, in Spagnuolo's defense, all those snaps were going to Olivier Vernon and JPP. So it's not, you know, he didn't get his fair shot under Spagnuolo.
Right. I think with Kerry Wynn, it's like if the Hall of Fame was strictly based on how you played in August.
He's a first ballot.
Kerry Wynn is a first ballot Hall of Famer because he's done it all. I mean, he's interception return for touchdowns, fumble special recovery teams for touchdowns, making a play on special teams. I mean, he's done it all. The only thing he hasn't done is thrown a touchdown pass or have a rushing touchdown. But he's done everything else.
He's done literally everything.
We'll see how James Betcher uses him. Obviously, with the 3-4, how does he fit? But he's having yet another great August. We'll see what he does in the second preseason game. Would you be surprised if he has an interception return for a touchdown? He had it in practice.
Nothing surprises me for Kerry Wynn in August.
So he's definitely a preseason Pro Bowl caliber player.
Yep.
Yes.
From Andrew Owens. Do you see Andrew Adams as the number one free safety this year? What do you think the Giants see in Jalapio? Is it run blocking? Andrew Adams, I don't know. You know, Darian Thompson's banged up right now. We saw flashes from Andrew Adams 2 years ago. He played very, very well. You know, should he be the number one? Not based on draft capital, obviously, Darian Thompson being a third-round pick. I would love to see more Andrew Adams. I said it last week. I've said it before. I'm a big Andrew Adams guy. I would love to see him get more reps with the first team. On Jalapio, I mean, we talked about it earlier. Brett Jones outplayed him in game number one. Brett Jones played pretty well down the stretch last season as the starting center. I think it's got to go to Brett Jones, but hey, Jalapio's not bad to, you know, have in your back pocket in case of an injury.
Yeah, with Jalapio, I think he can play multiple spots in the offensive line. So
he
that's
can play
a good
guard
thing.
Or center.
Yeah, so that's, I think, where he'll stick. But in regards to the free safety spot, I said it on the last episode, I expect it to be sort of a by-committee type thing.
Yeah.
Where it'll be depending what type of plays there are, what type of defense they're running, that will determine who's out there. But again, I liked what I saw from Andrew Adams on last Thursday. We'll see if that can carry over. But with Thompson banged up, I think between Andrew Adams and Curtis Riley, I think that spot is sort of, to me, those are the two guys that are now emerging as the front runners, with Darian Thompson starting to slip because of injury. So we'll see. But, you talked about draft capital. The one thing about this situation is Darian Thompson wasn't a draft pick by Dave Gettleman. So
right.
I don't think he has some early, step ahead. We saw he's been running with the twos a lot. So with Andrew Adams and Curtis Riley, I think it's those two guys, and then, Darian Thompson, who's starting to slip a little bit.
Sure. From Nick, our Madden winner, contract talks with OBJ seemed to quiet down. Any concern this doesn't get done by week one?
Not yet for me. I think quieted down. I think the thing with that is you could get an announcement tonight that saying they're closing on a deal. When stuff is going on, you don't hear about it as often. Again, I'm not worrying about it yet. I think we're still got like 3 weeks to go. The most important thing is that the dialogue is continuing.
Right.
And as that continues, you expect progress to get made and then eventually, something to get done. But the important thing is that both sides want to get something done.
Yep.
I think that's sort of the obvious. So we'll see. I'm not worried. Not yet.
Yep. Last question from Ryan Forbes. Hypothetical question, but if Sam Darnold becomes the Jets franchise guy and the Jets look to trade Teddy Bridgewater, would you want the Giants to pursue? In short, my answer is no, because then you're carrying four quarterbacks, unless Davis Webber, Kyle Aletta is that miserable that you decide to cut them, but you wouldn't do that because you drafted them in the third and fourth round respectively. I don't see them trading for Bridgewater. I see maybe in a year or two, if he's still on the market, them bringing him in because he's got familiarity with Pat Shurmur. Whatever. But again, this comes down to the conversation that we had exhaustingly, in this past offseason, and that's why the Giants should have picked a quarterback at number two overall. It's because of one of these guys. I mean, multiple quarterbacks that have been drafted have shown flashes in week one, and or preseason week one, rather, and we are both very confident that at least two or three of them are going to pan out to be franchise quarterbacks. And two, it's the aspect that I feel like people keep forgetting. It's the benefit of having a quarterback on his rookie deal. It's how all these teams that have had success in recent years built. You look at Carson Wentz, he's on his rookie deal. That's how the Eagles were able to surround him with such great talent and such a great defense. Even Russell Wilson, he happened to be a third-round pick who panned out. But again, you have a guy that pans out on his rookie deal, then it's easy-peasy. He plays well throughout the course of his rookie deal, and you surround him with the necessary pieces. So in short, no, I don't want the Giants trading for Teddy Bridgewater. I would not be totally thrilled if they decided to sign him this next offseason, depending on what they do with Eli. But that's my answer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you can carry four quarterbacks throughout the season.
Yeah.
Injuries happen. You're going to need to sign guys and four quarterbacks. I mean, that's just, I don't know how you could possibly do that. So I don't see them trading. Also because they have traded so much draft capital.
Right.
They took Sam Beal, the third round pick. So they don't have a third round pick there. They traded their seventh for the punter, Riley Dixon. So those two draft picks are right there. So what can you trade? Are you going to trade? And then, on top of all that, Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent after this year. So not only are you going to give him capital
on a pending free agent,
but you're also going to have to pay him when, by all means, you're sort of sticking to Eli Manning for at least a year or two. So you talk about salaries, and I think the one thing we're going to see this year is Eli Manning's salary.
Yeah.
I mean, when is it sort of no more excuses for Eli? Are we there yet? Because – and I hate to be that guy, but we're paying this guy over $20 million.
Yeah.
And if we're going to sit here and say, well, he won us two Super Bowls. He deserves to be. I mean, that's not how teams are built. That's not how teams win. 2011 is not doing anything for the Giants in 2018.
Yeah.
Besides just sitting in a trophy case. It ain't paying the bills. It ain't putting food on the table. So, something's got to happen with Eli Manning's salary going forward. And if he continues to not play well, if he continues to not do the things that we expect from a quarterback making that much, then, you know, we got to win. At some point, we can't just keep saying we believe in the guy, we believe in the guy, and he goes out and doesn't have a good game or doesn't have a good season.
Yeah.
You know, there's no more excuses. So the question was about Teddy Bridgewater and would it make sense? No, it doesn't. Not for the Giants to trade. Not for the Giants to sign him in free agency. But, you know, when it comes to Eli Manning and the quarterbacks that we have, you know, something's got to give, you know?
Yeah.
Either
he's got Saquon Barkley, Evan Engram, Odell Beckham, Nate Solder, Will Hernandez. I mean, this is it for Eli, man. He's got to put up good numbers this season.
They went out there and they got the best available offensive tackle on the free agent market for him, right? Nate Solder was am I missing somebody else? Was there somebody else? I mean, he was the best.
Outside of a trade,
outside of a trade, but he was the best available in free agency, right? Andrew Noel was a guard. They went out and got the best overall player in the draft by everyone's account, and Saquon Barkley, who's dynamic as they come. They have Odell Beckham returning from injury, who is the best receiver in the game in my eyes and in your eyes.
Yep.
They have a top, in my opinion, a top five, top three tight end in Evan Engram, who I think is going to
be easy top five.
Great. Yeah, he's going to have a great season. They have one of the best slot receivers in the NFL in Sterling Shepard. You know, they have one of the best quarterback minds or quarterback whisperers in Pat Shurmur.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
this is it, man.
At what point can we sort of, you know, give that ultimatum to Eli Manning? Nothing is perfect. You know, nobody has a perfect offensive line and perfect weapons around him. You know, so at some point, we've had this talk on many occasions, but people have to stop. There was one play where he did not go through his progressions, and he threw an errant pass that was nearly picked off. It's the first preseason game. I didn't bring it up. But damn it, you know, we can't see that during the regular season. The protection wasn't bad either. All right, I know Red Ellison didn't turn around, but we can't keep seeing it. You know, like, there has to be progress in Eli Manning.
Yep.
You know, so that's my thing, man. Teddy Bridgewater, no. Maybe in the future we can discuss that. But if you're sitting here worrying about Teddy Bridgewater and the quarterback situation, the time to worry about that was in March and April.
Yeah.
When everyone was screaming for a non-quarterback. So I don't want to hear that anymore.
Yeah. Agree. All right. Final thoughts?
No final thoughts.
I'm excited for preseason game two.
Yes.
I'm
going to Hawaii.
Yes, you are.
So, yes, I am. I'm going to Hawaii tomorrow morning. The game is on Friday.
Yes.
Right?
Friday at 7.
7. It's a 1 o'clock game for me. There you go.
I love that.
I'm going to catch that game at 1 o'clock. How about that?
And then head right to the beach.
There you go.
All right. How about that? I love it. Okay. Finishing up, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, Weiss at NYG Daily, the blog at GothamSN. Smash that subscribe button. We're on iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and on Spotify. Subscribe on all five. Help us look good. 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe. Go Giants. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.